Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you something out of Luke. Can I do that? I'm going to anyway, can I? It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Cyrenus was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, and to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the flock, in the field, keeping watch over their flock. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them and said, Glory of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shined around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Christ, the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. I think this would just be a good time to just give Jesus some praise for coming. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you came. We thank you that you gave your life for us, and we just appreciate you. The greatest story ever told. Greatest story ever told. I want to concentrate just for a couple minutes here on the verse 14. It says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Now I'm going to say something. I know we are thankful that we have something to celebrate this time of year. We're thankful that we have a Lord that came and saved us and gave His life for us. I'm not sure that a lot of Christians, I'm even going to say the majority of Christians, understand what that means. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. When we get to studying this, I guess the easiest way to see it is God's telling us the war's over. The war's over. I'm not mad at you anymore. Now, we've been talking around here for quite a while about God doing big things in our life and God doing supernatural things and signs following us. And I've been trying to say things that shake your faith and spark your faith and cause you to start to begin to think different. And I know some of the things that I've said just kind of, I've seen some eyebrows raised. But you know, I believe the biggest hindrance for us receiving and God being able to do all the things through our life that He wants to do is us not realizing how He really feels about us. Amen. We use the term real loosely, oh, God loves us and Jesus loves me, this I know because the Bible tells me so, and we've sang it since we were little kids, but something inside of us doesn't feel worthy. Something inside of us makes it too hard. And I think because we don't understand God's nature, we don't understand His position now because of what Jesus did, that we make it difficult sometimes for Him to do all the things through our life that He wants to do. This goodwill towards men, what God's saying here is He's saying, hey, I'm not holding any grudges against you anymore. I'm not against you. I'm not mad at you. When you study this out a little bit, it goes, he's talking to us, and he says, what it says is, to those whom His favor rests on. Goodwill towards men. One translation says, men with whom He is well pleased. Another translation says, men of goodwill, men of His favor. You see, how many know it's hard sometimes to think that God's really pleased with you? I mean, when we do something good, we think, oh, He's pleased. Like we came to church today, and it's cold, and we came anyway, so we feel like He's pleased with us, right? But you know, it's not Him being pleased with us, Him loving us, Him restoring us. It doesn't have really anything to do with what we do. It's because of what Jesus did. And I wonder what would happen if we would just begin to realize, I'm okay with God. God is pleased with me. Now I'll say this, he's not always pleased with everything I do. But boy, He loves me. And as I come into that realization, as I come into that revelation, it just sets me free. Because every time I perform, and my performance doesn't live up to my expectations or somebody else's expectations, I don't have to be down anymore. I don't have to pitch a tent and make camp there. I can just go, well, God, I didn't do that and very good. Forgive me. And I can move on. I wonder what would happen if we would get a revelation of what He thinks about us and how He feels about us. Now, to some, that's easy because you've been listening. And we're gonna continue on this journey because God's taken us somewhere. And I'm believing that all of us get to go. I'm believing that all of us will see and all of us will understand. But it's hard sometimes. And what does that do when we can say all this stuff and it's easy to say it, but what happens when I am feeling like I missed the mark, or I'm feeling like God's disappointed in me, or I'm feeling like, boy, I should have done. You know the feeling I'm talking about. What happens when I'm that way? My faith is down, and I'm not believing God for who He is, and I'm not believing in the price that Jesus paid, but my faith is down, and I have trouble receiving because then I'm praying things like, oh God, would You please heal me? Or God, would you please bless me? Would you please do this or do that? But you know, see, we're never instructed to pray that way. Jesus said it's finished. He said, if you can believe, whatever you believe, whatever you pray, I'll do it for you so that the Father will be glorified. See, my faith gets down. An illustration. I was walking through Sam's here a few weeks back, and I don't know. You know how the devil will do you. Anybody ever have thoughts come to you the thoughts belittle you and the thoughts, you know, just something came to my mind, something I said and did in front of somebody 5, 10 years ago, a long time ago. And out of the clear blue, I'm just walking through Sam's and this comes to me and I'm going, God, why did I say that? You know, and I'm going, God, what a stupid thing to do. What a stupid thing to say. And I'm walking along and I'm going, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm just glad you can use me even as stupid as I am. And anybody ever go that direction? And I mean, I'm just giving myself a hard time and I'm just disgusted and I'm just going, God, I'm so sorry, you know, and I like 5 minutes later, and I've kind of been meditating on this, and I'm in another part of the store, and this man I don't know walks up to me and he says, Pastor Hank. And I look and he comes over to me and he says, I think his name was Max Martin. He's a retired businessman, lives in Miami. And he come over and he shook my hand and he said, oh, he said, I listen to you every week and I just thank God for you. And he started saying all this stuff and he said, you're the man God's using. And he's telling all this stuff. And he said, I just prayed and asked God that I'd run into you somewhere so I could tell you this. And I'm going. And as I walked away, I'm going, okay, God. I get the message. See, God's not always happy. I mean, He's not always pleased with everything we do, but He's always pleased with us. Why? Well, because when He looks at you, He sees Jesus, and He sees everything Jesus went through. He sees this little baby that was born and grew up without sin in his life, but took all of our sins on the cross. He sees a price that was paid for us, and He looks down and He says, that's my beloved daughter. That's my beloved son. Don't you mess with them. Well, we'll be shouting before it's over. See, in 2 Corinthians, where is 2 Corinthians? Is that in the New Testament? Okay, 2 Corinthians 5, there it is. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God. I mean, everything's because of Him who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. Catch what that says. He says, I did it all. I reconciled you to me. Says that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their sins and trespasses to them, but has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Catch what I'm going to say this. Most Christians don't know they're reconciled. I was going to say a majority of Christians aren't reconciled. And maybe I'll say that. Because we don't understand what reconciliation is. We think if we do enough, if we perform enough, if we jump through enough hoops, if we do enough right things. See, you know, I used to feel like that God had this big chart up in the sky, big piece of poster board, and every time I did something good, He put a little star by my name. Anybody ever remember Bible school and Sunday school when you was little, and every time you showed up, you got a thing. If you brought your Bible, you got a star. If you knew a verse, you got a star. And I just always felt like that, you know, God's got this big old thing up there, and everything I do, He puts a star. But you know what? Then I figured out, hold it, the star is there. The star is Jesus. The star is already there. This is saying, what He's saying here is, He's saying, I did it. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, He always said, if you will do what I say, if you will do this, I'll do this. If you will live, if you'll keep my words, if you'll do all these things, these blessings will come on you and overtake you. If. But in the new covenant, he always starts off with, I will do this. I will do that. I will. Are you with me? Now listen, that sounds foreign to us, especially when we think religiously, a religious mind. But Jesus looked at some of the religious people of his day and said, you have a form of godliness, but there's no power in you. Well, I want you to realize you got power in you. I want you to realize that there's something alive in you. I want you to realize you are somebody. You are important to God. I want you to realize he wants to do big things through your life. It says, now we are ambassadors for Christ through God. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Now listen to this. Paul's talking to Christians. He's not talking to unsaved people here. That's why I said, I believe a majority of Christians haven't been reconciled in their mind. He just gets through telling us, he said, all things are of God. I did it. Through Jesus, I reconciled you back to me. That word reconciliation means to call back into union and friendship the affection which has been alienated. Are you hearing me? Catch this real quick and we'll quit. It means to restore to friendship or favor after an estrangement. It means to settle and resolve the differences. It means to restore to harmony. You got to understand what God's saying here. He's saying, I did this. I brought you back into fellowship with me. I brought you back into harmony with you, with me. I what Jesus did by what he did on the cross, I reconciled you to me. Now Paul tells these Christians, would you please be reconciled to God? Amen. Now I don't want to take away anything that you've been taught. Just add to it, okay? And I don't know everything. Matter of fact, some days I wonder if I know anything. But I know I got a God. And I know he loves you so much that he's going to let me say something that'll change your life. He's going to let me say something that'll plant a seed inside of you and it'll start growing and you won't even ever remember where the seed came from, but you'll be realize that out of your innermost being are flowing those rivers of living water and it's getting off on everybody that gets around you. To be reconciled. You see, we have to know that. We have to believe that. I have to believe, hold it, I'm friends with God. It's, you know, and we say it. You know, I've been criticized a lot, not lately, but I've been criticized through the years for saying so much, so many times, God loves you. God loves you. I had a preacher in the service one time and he said, how many times can he say God loves you? I thought, you can't say it too many times. Huh? Somebody asked me before service said something. I said something about, yeah, I said, nah. I said, well, I'll have to figure out what to say or something. He said, I bet you say God loves us. I said, I bet I say that too. But see, I have to be reconciled in my mind. I have to realize that my sin and my failure and my inadequacy and my lack doesn't stop what God's able to do through me if I'm trusting Him. Oh, this is so liberating if you can get it. Grace gives us everything we can't do of ourselves. And what happens is, if you're not careful, you do just like I did in Sam. I walked through the whole store. I just pitched a tent right where that thought came. I just pitched a tent and went to seed over it, how bad I was and how stupid what I had said sounded. And I just, by the time I got around through halfway through the store, I had just beat myself silly. But God got the message through to me. I said, well, thank you, Lord. I've just been preaching this for a year, and now you're giving me a revelation on what I've been saying. I want you to get a revelation. See, because once you know He's for you, He's not against you, there's not a devil in hell can slow you down. Once you know that He's behind you and you're in harmony with Him, and you're what verse 21 says, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. When it begins to dawn on you, I'm right with God because of what Jesus did, not because of what Hank does, man, then nothing can slow you down. When you start realizing, I'm right with You, Father. I'm right with You, God. I'm going to tell you what, that'll make you live better. That'll make you get the sin out of your life. You know, I used to sit and I used to think I needed it and sit and listen to people just tell me how bad it was all the time. And then after some years of that, it dawned on me, I already know how bad I am. Won't you tell me what I can be? Won't you tell me what can happen in my life? Is anybody hearing me? So now I just go, listen, understand what I'm saying. I say, God wants to do big things in your life. Could I say something? You don't have to be big for Him to do big things in you. Huh? It finally dawned on me, I don't have to be a great big guy preacher for God to do something through me. I can be little old Hank, with all his flaws and all his inabilities and all his bad English and all the rest of this stuff, and I can just be Hank, and God can use me to say something that plants a seed in your life that changes your life. That's how big God is. You don't have to be somebody that everybody in the world knows. You just have to be you. And every place you go, you sow those seeds. Every place you go, you know the favor of God's on me. Anybody I get around is going to be blessed. Anybody I talk to, I'm going to pick them up. Anybody I talk to, I'm going to edify them. I'm going to do big. Anybody that gets around me are going to walk away going, wow, I feel blessed. I feel better now than I did before they came. Oh, hear me. Once that clicks in your mind, let me see, because I'm going to go to Isaiah 54 for a minute, but because, and then I'll quit. You guys look like you're hearing me. Are you hearing me? Okay, I think I'm going to quit. That makes you really hear me, huh? I'm going to quit in just a minute. But once you begin to realize your position with God, hold it, devil. You can't get away with that in my life. Hold it, devil. You can't put this sickness on my body. Jesus paid us, He paid a price. He took stripes for this. You can't do this. Are you hearing me? But whenever we're not in that mindset, we're going, oh Lord, would You please heal me? Oh Lord, would You please take this from me? Oh Lord, would You please... Hold it. He said, speak to it. He said, if you'll only believe. Believe what? Not believe that you have 83 scriptures memorized. Not believe that you got half the Bible memorized. Not believe that you can pull them all up and say them all. Not believe all that. Believe that Jesus paid a price that's big enough to make you well. Can you believe He paid a price big enough to make you miss hell and go to heaven? Huh? At the same time, He took some stripes on His back so I don't have to be sick and you don't have to be sick. Do you know how many times opportunities I've had to get sick in the last 2 or 3 weeks because I'm saying this stuff? Hey, I'm telling you what, I'm not going to back down because I believe in what Jesus did. This isn't something that you just wake up one day and now I'm a spiritual giant and I'm... No, man, this is a way of life where when He comes at you and He throws those thoughts in you, boy, your throat's getting sore. Boy, you know, you're starting to... you remember what happened last year? You had to go to the doctor, you remember? And you remember you had that cough and you just couldn't get rid of that. Remember? When He throws those thoughts at you, you just start going, no, I think I'll skip it this year. Some guy came up to me the other day and said, have you got what's been going around? I said, no. I said, I think I'll just skip it this year. Amen. I think I'll just give it to Jesus this year. Now that doesn't mean that you get under condemnation if you're fighting a battle or something. Hold it, the devil's here to try to steal, kill, and destroy everything from us he can. He wants to steal every bit of revelation of God from us that he can do. So my feelings really don't have anything to do about it. Huh? And it's not something that we just wake up in the morning and now I'm tough. It's not we say the right things for 20 days and everything's different. No. It's that we begin to renew our mind and we begin to put our faith day by day, step by step, inch by inch. We begin to put our faith and our belief in Jesus and God and what Jesus did for us. And every day we get stronger and stronger and stronger. Then one day we turn around and look and you go, man, I hadn't been sick in 6 months. I hadn't felt bad in a year. You turn around and you go, boy, I don't ever remember feeling this good. Amen. Are you hearing me? Well, I forgot your name, brother, but okay. But he comes in a wheelchair, and now he's coming in, and he's pushing the wheelchair around. I thought, well, you know, you're supposed to be riding that, and now you're walking and pushing it, and and it's not something that didn't just happen the day when I prayed for him. It's something that began to happen. And he began to believe it. It ain't going to be long you got that thing off your foot, man. And when you do, you probably be up doing a little jig like they did in the Bible. Running and leaping and praising God. Well, anyway. But I understand what I'm saying. I'm chasing rabbits here. But what is it? I'm talking about realizing your position, realizing how God feels about you, realizing that you're okay. The Bible says that while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. How many know the Bible says that? Let me just throw this in after that, since you got that in your mind. When you do the worst thing that you can imagine, you're still okay with God. Now, hear what I'm saying. I'm not giving you a license to do the wrong things. But when you do the worst thing, all the Bible says is you just go, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, and man, it's gone. So don't spend a week there. Don't spend a week there. When you're at your worst position, your worst level, your worst position, you're still valuable to God. He still loves you. Does that make sense? In Isaiah 54, this is what he says. He says, this whole chapter's good. I'm going to start a little earlier, but it says, For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And he is called the God of the whole earth. Now I want you to understand this. In Isaiah 53, we see a picture of what Jesus was going to do and what he did when he went to the cross. And Isaiah 54 is a covenant of peace that God says that I'm going to make with you after Jesus goes to the cross. Has Jesus gone to the cross yet? Yes, he has. And he says, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says the Lord God. He says, for a mere moment I have forsaken you. Now understand, he's talking about all this stuff that happened from the time sin entered the world until Jesus goes to the cross. To him, it was just a minute. For a mere minute, I have forsaken you, but with great mercies, I will gather you. With a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. Oh, but with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you. Listen to it, says the Lord your Redeemer. It says, for this is like the water of Noah to me, for I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth. So I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Wow. Are you getting a little bit of revelation? If we could only realize, God has reconciled us from His, if we could just be reconciled to Him, if we could just renew our mind, Paul says, if we could just cast down all those imaginations that come against the thoughts and the words of God, if we could just bring all those thoughts into subjection to the obedience of Christ, if we could just begin to take every thought and everything that comes at us that's contrary to how God feels about us and push it away and receive His goodness and His mercy, things will change in our lives. It'll change in our lives. But if you got time this week, read the whole chapter of Isaiah 54. It is so good. And it's called a perpetual covenant of peace. Just some of the stuff he says. He says, enlarge the place of your tents and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. And strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Don't fear, for you'll not be ashamed, neither will you be disgraced. Understand what he's saying. He's saying, do you understand? This, folks, listen. A lot of this stuff's going to happen when we go to heaven, but it's supposed to start happening in our life now. We're not going to have tents and stakes in heaven. Are you hearing me? He's saying, would you just believe because of what I did in Isaiah 53? Just believe. I want you to stretch. I want you to think bigger. I want you to get bigger tents and bigger areas. And I want you to do like I told Abraham. I want you to look, and as far as you can see is yours. I want you to start walking, and every place your foot touches belongs to you. Say, well, Hank, but I just don't know about... I know, and I understand. And that's still in me too, because I haven't totally got renewed yet. But I'm working on it. Amen. Huh? I'm working. Let me ask you, let's just be reasonable about this for a minute. Would God be able to do more in your life if you think the way I'm talking now, rather than the way we have always thought? Would He be able to do more in your life if you were thinking big and thinking everything's possible and thinking, man, my God's not only more than enough, He's more than enough for me. And my God will bless everything I set my hand to. That doesn't mean just instant blessing. That doesn't mean you can just go out and start some business and it's just going to mushroom. But that means if you'll listen to the Lord and pay attention to Him as He moves you into His calling, into His will, as He shows you things. And when He says, step over here, you step over here, and step over here, you step over here, and just follow and let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us into all truth. Oh, if we can just grab what's here for us. If we can just grab what's here for us. I'm not talking about a 30-day get rich quick. Because I'm going to tell you something. God's letting me see some things. He's letting my eyes see some things. And what it's doing is like a carrot that you dangle. It's making me want to go after it, see? And you know, I'm not talking to you as one that's got this all figured out. I'm talking to you as one that's decided to go on this journey with God. Watch how, as this stuff's happening to me, listen, I've called money in. I've called money into the church. I've called money into my life. It's happening. It's happening. But let me tell you something. This isn't about stuff. You want to know what the real treasure is? The real treasure is when I get into the presence of my Father. When I get into His presence and He's talking to me and I'm listening and talking to Him. And oh, I'm not talking about audible voices. I'm talking about in here. You know what I'm talking about. You've had those times in your life. But see, God wants to walk with us all the time that way. All the time that way. I always just went through life just waiting for that next big high moment, huh? No, then I realized, hold it, when I'm in the valley, He's with me. I don't have to fear any evil. Man, when I'm on the mountaintop, He's with me. And I can't really take stuff too serious when I'm on the mountaintop because my brain's all fizzy. I'm all fizzy-brained, man, you know? But as this journey through life, I'm just saying, why are you saying this? Well, I've been talking a lot about faith. I got some more, but we won't do that today. How about that? I've been talking a lot about faith. And God's had me say some things, especially in the last few weeks, that I go home and I go, God, did I really say that? And then I get before Him, I say, God, I don't want to say nothing that You're not telling me, man. And so, Father, I'm just asking You anything I say that's off in left field somewhere, man. I said, you know, just keep me straight. Keep me... And I'm going, did I really say that? And then I'll be looking in here, and He'll take me to some scriptures, and He'll show me that that's what He said. See, what am I saying? I'm saying, we probably won't put this part on the broadcast, but what I'm saying is, God has let me see what He's going to do in some of your lives. He will do it in all of our lives if we'll let Him. But this coming year, some things are going to happen that are just, I'm talking about some exceeding abundant, above all that we can ask or think things. I'm just telling you, that's all I'm living for now is to see God do something in your life. And you know, when I watch somebody leave the church or they get little, you know, a lot of them aren't disgruntled. They just get sidetracked. They just get daydreaming. They just get, you know, man, when I watch that, I told somebody this the other day and they're not here today. But I just want to say, don't go yet. You're going to miss it. Don't walk away yet. When we get to heaven and find out how many times we were right up to the bank of the Jordan, ready to walk into our promised land, and we quit too soon, or we gave up too soon, or we let our guard down too soon, when we get there, we're going to go, oh God, if I'd have hung in 15 more minutes. If I'd have just walked a couple more blocks, look what would have happened. Well, some of you thought about not coming this morning and you thought, no, I'm going to go ahead and go. And because of that, there's something been planted in you. You'll be thinking about it a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. You won't even remember that I said anything that it planted in there. You'll just be having an experience with God. And that's what it's all about. Well, I think it'd be a good time just give Jesus another cheer. Just give him some praise. Just give him some praise. Because of him. Because of him. I'm okay with God. Because of him. No matter how bad I mess up, no matter how far off track I get, because of him, I can get right back on course. Because of him, no matter what, I can just say, Father, I'm sorry. I don't want that in my life anymore. I want you more than I want that. Because of you, Jesus. Because of you. I don't know. I'm going to probably spend the rest of the day praising him. I'm going to spend the rest of the day, man, talking to my Jesus. We're going to have a week or two long birthday party here. Well, give him some praise. Go ahead and give him a hand clap. He deserves it. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Is there anybody here not saved? Not saved? I know you're saved. Anybody here not saved? I mean, I can't imagine anybody getting out of the cold and coming in the cold here to church and not being saved unless God just told you to come. But if you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're right with God, right now, just right now, say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord. And right now, I want that life with my Father God that only you can give me. I want to live for you, but I need your help. And if you say that and mean it, he'll come into your heart. He'll change your life if you say that and mean it. Well, hey, thank you for being here. We're going to do something. As we leave today. We do this every year at Christmas time. If you don't want to participate, you don't feel a bit guilty, but every year at Christmas time, we give Jesus an extra gift. And this year we just decided that we were going to look at all that God had done for us in the past year and give him an offer and honor him for it. And that we were going to also give this offering in faith of what we were believing that God was going to do for us in this new coming year. And so that's what we're doing. And I believe God's going to open my... I brought this, just so you know, how many remember last month we gave some money to help a church over in Kansas at the food bank buy turkeys. They handed out almost 200 Thanksgiving baskets. This is a big card, if any of y'all want to look. They signed and wrote notes, and I didn't know this until this past week, but the food bank didn't help them with turkeys like they did in the past, as many, and they didn't have the money to do these baskets, and I didn't know that, and we gave them money. They didn't tell anybody that. They just told God, and because of that, they were able to give more baskets away than they did last year. And so I just want you to know that we do things that please God, and God's very well pleased. And I try to do things with this church that brings blessings back on your life. I try to sow seeds that brings blessings back. So you're part of a whole lot more than you even realize, even when you just put your tithes and offerings in. I just want you to know that. Okay, this past week we went to the ranch out and we did the Ozark Center, and we did a cabin. It was the girls' cabin, wasn't it? And just gave them presents and had a party for them, and we do that every year. But you know, you have a part in that, huh? You have a part in that. The little girl that said to Chris or Wendy one, the little girl that said, they really do love us. You have a part in that. Isn't that good that everybody can just do something and together we get a lot done? I just said that so that you just didn't think. Sometimes we just put our stuff in because we know we're supposed to. And that's good, but You know what? I believe all heaven just looks whenever we do something special. And so we're going to honor God with our offering today. And what we'll do is, like we always do, oh, there it is. As you leave, if you want to do something, you can just come down and put it in the chest there. And we just do things all year long with that. But I'm believing God. I'm going to pray here, but I'm believing God as we honor Him for what He's done for us, that we're also, by faith, we're believing Him to open some doors up for us this coming year and to do some things. Can I just tell you another little testimony? I spoke somewhere a few weeks ago, and they gave me I don't ever speak for an honorarium, but they gave me a check for $75. And I don't know, has anybody ever been when you really needed $75? Is there nobody's ever needed $75? I'm going to say, whoo, come on over to my house, man. And I thought about that. I thought, boy, I really needed this. I didn't ask for it, but I really needed this. And so I was coming to church that Sunday night, and I thought, you know what, Lord, I really needed this, but I'm just going to give this to You. And so I just signed the check and put it in the offering Sunday night. That next week, I was handed over $800. And I needed $75, but I really needed the over $800. Are you with me? And this isn't a give just to get, but this is, God says, you bring your tithes and offerings in and see if I just won't open up the windows of heaven. Not only that, He's going to give me another new car. Huh? I just said, I just put Him on the spot. I just got one 4 months ago, but I'm going to get another one. Huh? Ooh. Well, why don't you stretch your tents? Stretch your cords out. Think bigger. What is it that you need? What is it that would really make things better for you? What is it that God could do for you? He wants to do that for you. He wants to do it for me. See, I don't say this stuff bragging on me. I say this stuff bragging on God. Oh, I'm starting to hear. I heard the other day of a family that's got $1,000. Didn't know where, wasn't expecting it, and just got $1,000. That's just a start. There's going to be another 1,000 and another 1,000 and another 1,000 and another 1,000. Huh? Isn't God good? Let's give Him some more praise. Father, we offer You this now because we want to honor You with our giving. And Lord, I just ask anybody that doesn't participate, please don't let them feel guilty or anything. But we do this because we want to, God. And so I'm thankful for all that You've blessed me with and Pam with, and I'm thankful for all You're blessing this church with, and I'm also thankful for all You're going to do. And Lord, I'm believing that You're going to do what I think You showed me in the lives of all these people, and even many of them that aren't here today. I believe, God, that You're going to do what I think I saw that You said You were going to do, and I believe You're going to open up these channels for them, God, and it's going to flow. And it's going to flow, and they're not just going to be blessed, but they're going to be a blessing. And so, Father, we give You this now not to get. We give You this offering now because we love You. And You're the most important thing in our life. You're the most valuable thing in our life. And so we love You. We give You praise. We give You honor. And we thank You, Jesus, again for making us right with our Father. We love You. And we pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Will you receive all that God... How many will just say, I'll receive all that God wants to do for me? Okay? I just speak His blessings into you, and I just believe Him to open up doors and avenues for you. I believe Him to open up your understanding, that you begin to see things in God that you never saw before. I'm believing Him just to touch you and bless you in every area of your life. And anybody in here that's sick, I speak to that sickness, I speak to that disease in Jesus' name, and I say, leave. Tumor, you dry up from the roots. Kidneys, you start working. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. Oh, I love y'all. Thank you for being here today. See you next time. No service tonight. Next Sunday morning, we will have a short service. We'll take communion and worship God for a little bit. So be here. We're gonna worship the Lord.